Springfield's Talk 104.1, and good morning, everyone. Yet another cold one, but there's warmth on the horizon above freezing by the weekend. At least that is what is currently being forecast. Now, there is still a wind chill warning in effect, yet it is to expire as of now in 3 hours. So that is some positive news there. Winter weather advisory is going to kick back in at 9 tonight until 6 p.m. tomorrow night. That's because of more snow. So while some of the brutally frigid, dangerously cold temperatures may be waning just a bit, we are looking for 1 or 2 additional inches of snow as of now for the overnight into tomorrow. And, of course, that can cause slippery road conditions, which we expect to have today as well. After that, temperatures are slowly but surely going to start making their way up again. And this is, again, expected to punch through the freezing mark Friday and hopefully by Saturday for sure, just right around there on Friday. So we'll have a full look at the KTTS First Alert forecast. We'll also talk a little bit about windmills. Windmills are not faring well in the world of social media right now. And so much as we learn what we're all learning a lot, I think most of us, about where our energy comes from, how it gets delivered, and what happens when there are problems in other parts of the state. All of a sudden, you start to see things like the Keystone Pipeline in a different light. You're like, oh, okay, I see what those pipelines do now. I understand, you know, what goes on with these delivery systems to some degree, of course. And with Texas shifting its way over the past several years to this idea of windmills freezing up and leaving people without power. And it has been a dramatic example of what happens when you artificially shift to something that's not as effective and efficient. And that's being seen playing out. Now, don't expect people in power who make these decisions to go, oops, golly gee, maybe we shouldn't try and artificially shift ourselves over to something that doesn't work as well, because that's not how government works. Let's go ahead and jump over to the latest news with Jason Reim on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
A rolling blackouts were ordered Monday for Springfield City Utilities and other utilities across the Midwest. They were rescinded not long after the order. A spokesperson for CU says those blackouts could be ordered again, though, if the utility situation gets worse with the winter weather. The Southwest Power Pool, which is made up of power companies across 14 states, issued that request for blackouts. Some of them started around noon here in Springfield. Those blackouts lasted around 30 to 60 minutes. At the same time, a frigid blast of winter weather across the U.S. is likely to blame for the deaths of 2 people in Texas. The storm system, part of a massive system that brought snow, sleet, and freezing rain to the plains and was spreading across the Ohio Valley and to the Northeast. State health officials say just over 10% of the people in Missouri have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Governor Parson announcing more mass vaccination sites for the week, but urging people to call ahead in case they get postponed. And that's the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast. All right, so we've got the wind chill warning until 9 this morning. Winter weather advisory will kick in 9 o'clock tonight through 6 p.m. tomorrow. We've got sunshine today, a high of 13, wind chills 23 below. Tonight, snow likely. The low 10 with the wind chill of 1 below. 1 to 2 inches of additional accumulation is possible. Tomorrow, snow is likely. High of 23, wind chill around 0. Now, tomorrow afternoon, they are expecting the wind component to all of this to start dying down, which, of course, is good news. Then Thursday, partly sunny, 24, 32 and sunny on Friday, and the weekend we are expected to get into the 40s. Now, the roads are expected to be slippery out there again today, so just, I mean, you know the drill. It's 11 below 0 regular temp right now. I recall, I don't off the top of my head. It seemed like it was the late 90s, but it could have even been the mid 2000s. There was an oil tycoon. And he was making this monumental shift, going from oil to wind. T. Boone Pickens was his name. And this was hailed by the global warming folks as a great victory, because it was somebody in the oil industry that was finally acknowledging that the future was in wind. And T. Boone Pickens, he bought airtime, and he had this ad, and I think there were a couple of them, in fact, and it was explaining about how we were becoming more and more dependent on foreign oil. Talked about the percentage of oil that we got from the Middle East in the 70s and how it had increased dramatically into the 90s, and how, you know, that was something that was a trend that was not going to turn around. It was only going to get worse. And so we had no choice, no other choice other than wind energy. And he was going to start this vast wind farm in Texas. Now, it never happened, at least the way that he envisioned it. And there were a couple of different reasons. One of the reasons was the price of natural gas began to drop, and so wind energy wasn't that attractive any longer. In other words, the normal market system, the free market system, came into play there. Of course, the government, though, gets itself involved in these projects, and a lot of it is money. It is money, 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 money. And a lot of folks get into some of these industries not because they feel that it is the cheapest and best and most effective and efficient and reliable form of energy, but because the government has it as a to-do item, and they know that there's a lot of taxpayer dollars that the government will take from the American people and give to them. Now, we have seen some of the results of what happens when you rely on windmills and you have extreme temperatures. And in Texas, this has played out with giant windmills freezing, leaving massive parts of Texas and people in Texas without any form of power. And, of course, there have been, you know, we've been so focused on what's going on here. There are areas of Texas, Houston, and others where people have headed to convention centers or the main convention center in Houston just to try and keep warm. It essentially became a refugee center. This is Texas. Texas, when it comes to energy, displayed to some degree what California has been dealing with for some time as a result of their insistence on forcing taxpayers to pay for these less reliable forms of energy. This is just a reality. And so we've seen it in Texas now. They actually have, this is what's, I mean, it's sad, but it's typical government. You know, the entity that oversees the grid that involves all of the windmills and everything in Texas? It's called the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. Reliability. And, of course, it's turned out not to be reliable. Now, this isn't to say that other forms of energy or the development of other forms of energy don't have problems. I mean, you are always going to have a problem. But this is the difference between private sector and government. When the private sector recognizes that there is a problem, they try and fix it. They look at what is my desired outcome. And when it comes to the world of energy, it's cheapest, most effective, to a large degree clean. I mean, while they may not go for the absolute zero carbon emission, there is a desire to have cleaner energy by these companies, whether it's for marketing purposes or otherwise. And reliable. And so if, and this goes for anything in the private sector, refrigerators, cell phones, vaccines. If it turns out that it doesn't satisfy those different desires, then you rework it. You figure out how to do it. Government doesn't do that. Do you think government is going to say, well, we're going to not do this windmill thing anymore? Of course not. They're going to explain that they're going to tell you all the reasons why this happened. You know, well, this was an anomaly. You got to understand the weather was, it was extreme, not this sort of thing. Yes, we know all of these things. We understand why it happened. We also know to what it happened. It was windmills. I hate to go back to this well over and over again, but, you know, again, this is a difference between Trump and government in general. Trump was constantly concerning himself with what will work. And if it doesn't work this way, let's try it a different way, where government doubles down when it doesn't work. Well, we need to do more of it. I'm sure the answer will be more investment in figuring out how it is to keep the windmills running should this sort of thing happen again. Not simply going to a more reliable, cheaper form of energy. Jason Rimo with the latest traffic here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
Couple of slowdowns in Springfield right now. We have a crash involving a tractor trailer that lost its trailer. This one's around Highland Springs, eastbound James River, right around Highland Springs. And then also at Glenstone and Sunshine, a crash there. That's going westbound at Sunshine and Glenstone. In the KTTS Go Patrol Traffic Center, I'm Jason Rima.
Wind chill warning till 9 o'clock this morning. Winter weather advisory kicking in from 9 to 6, 9 p.m. to 6 p.m. That because of 1 to 2 additional inches of snow expected. Slippery roads again today, most likely tomorrow as well. We'll keep updating you on the weather. Not as extreme, I think, as many people had feared with the rolling blackouts, though some were affected by it, some were not. And there's been a cautiously optimistic take on where things are headed from now, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we won't have any more of that. But, you know, if people start thinking, well, I can use as much power as I want, I don't know, it may strain the system. So they say, this is what they say. I want to, again, though, illustrate. You think about, for example, the government's approach when it comes to energy. I mentioned earlier T. Boone Pickens, the oil tycoon that just really got people very, very excited when he decided years ago that he was going to shift to wind. And it's because he thought it was a moneymaker. It didn't have anything else to do with anything. It was just a moneymaker. But part of the reason that he explained in the national ads he bought was because of our increasing reliance on oil. Well, you know, Trump's view of that when he got in there was, let's see, we could build a new mousetrap, or, gee whiz, we have a lot of energy here. We have a lot of oil here. Why don't we just use our own? Isn't that a crazy idea? That's the difference in thinking. It is the Rube Goldberg build a new mousetrap version as opposed to what is simplest, cheapest, and what works the best. And Trump did, frankly, what I think that most people never imagined would occur, and that is energy independence from the Middle East. So instead of coming up with these billions upon billions of dollars of subsidized ideas, whether it's solar panels or windmills, you know, he said, well, let's just use the oil that we have here. Now, by the way, I don't want anyone to get me wrong. Sometimes this subject comes up, particularly people that work in the world of solar panels and so forth. You know, they understandably they can get a little defensive. I don't have a problem with the existence of these things at all. I just don't believe that oftentimes they are as effective, and I don't believe they should be forced upon people. And I don't like the government telling some people you don't have to pay as much taxes as the next guy if you purchase this stuff. I don't like that. I don't like the government, people in power, having the position to pick who gets to win and who gets to lose, and incentivizing people to spend their money with certain businesses as opposed to others. I don't think that's the role of government, and it also opens it up to massive corruption. But the existence of windmills themselves, somebody wants to buy solar panels and put them on, that is fantastic. I think it's fantastic. It's awesome. Somebody has land and they want to use windmills and you know, have their own power, supply power to other people. That's fantastic. I'm just opposed to utilizing the power of the government to force other people to be involved in those decisions. But we have become energy independent, and we are, you know, going backwards now. This couldn't happen at a more perfect time. To see what happens when the government, people in government, decide instead of taking what is there, what is the cheapest, most effective, and reliable energies, we're going to ban the drilling for that, we're going to ban the fracking for that, and instead, we're going to prop these other industries that are not as reliable. The fascinating thing about a free market system is it organically provide success to the industries that do provide the best products and services to the people, because people naturally want the best, so they're going to buy the best if it's at a price they can afford. And so when you don't have government involvement in that, people, the customers, are ultimately served the best. Now, I want to make one other point here, and it's the environmental angle. And there are many people who say, well, we've got to shift to these alternative forms of energy for the environment. Well, generally what we learn is that they're not nearly as environmentally friendly as they're presented to be. I mean, the windmills, they don't break down. I'm sure many of you have seen the images of all of the fossil fuels being used in order to thaw out the windmills. This idea that they are perfectly environmentally friendly and they are not in any way, shape, or form responsible for producing any pollution is just not true. Now, there can be all sorts of studies and debates over whether it's short-term, long-term, lasting, or not. But we have to be realistic about that component of it. But it also does not ultimately, and this goes for banning fracking, this goes for shutting down pipelines, it does not diminish people's need for energy. So when you have people calling for the shutting down of the Keystone Pipeline in the name of global warming, as if somehow that means people are going to stop using energy, that's foolishness. It's just going to be consumed from some other source. And we can either continue to head in this direction of artificially propping up some industries that aren't as reliable, or we can do what human beings traditionally have done that has proven to be a success, and that is voluntarily purchase and invest in the products that we see as being the most reliable and the cheapest, or maybe not even the cheapest, but the greatest value for what we get. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Wind chill warning is set to expire at 9 o'clock this morning, which is definitely good news. Winter weather advisory is going to kick back in due to another round of snow that is expected to drop 1 or 2 inches on us. That'll kick back in at 9 tonight and 6 through 6 p.m. tomorrow. We'll break down the KTTS First Alert forecast here in just a couple of moments. Also, Jason Rima with the latest news. First, here he is with traffic on Springfield's Talk 104.1. We'll have a look at that KTTS First Alert forecast coming up, what to expect as we are hopefully seeing the beginning of the end, though still more snow is coming. But, you know, by this weekend, the temperatures are hopefully, they're planning on being into the 40s even. So I think it's safe to say we'll start to see some of this stuff melt off. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. The process could not have been any easier. Emily took care of everything from scheduling the rain hats on the chimney to the leaves in the yard. Emily handled every detail. Thank you for making this the easiest sell ever. Jared saying Emily, or working with Emily, gave us invaluable guide through every aspect of buying and selling a home. At every phase of the buying, or every phase rather, of the buying and selling process, she was several steps ahead of everyone else involved, from having contractors selected for every task needed to showing us the same house three times while we debated the height of the ceiling. Emily was patient, thorough, and dedicated. I highly recommend working with Emily if you like your life to be a lot easier during a stressful and busy time. Now, those are just some of the experiences that people right here have had dealing with Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. And it's why I, for a couple of years now, have been telling you, if you need to sell your home, if you need to buy a home, or if you know someone who is in that position, or you just have preliminary questions about the process itself, Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. Cannot recommend her enough, and neither can countless other people. 890-1455 is her number, but the best thing I suggest is to find her on Facebook. That's Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. Jason Ryman now with the latest news.
Morning, everybody. Rolling blackouts were instituted across the Springfield area and across the Midwest on Monday, but were quickly rescinded. City Utilities of Springfield said it reduced its electric load around noon, with those blackouts ranging from 30 to 60 minutes. The Southwest Power Pool, a group of power companies throughout 14 states, pulled back the blackouts around noon. Also today, a frigid blast of winter weather across the U.S. is likely to blame for the deaths of at least two people in Texas. The storm was part of a massive system there that brought snow, sleet, and freezing rain to the plains, and also was spreading across the Ohio Valley and to the Northeast. At the same time, North Carolina authorities say at least three people have been killed after a tornado tore through a seaside town. And the state health department says just over 10% of the people in Missouri have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And that's the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Discounts 20%. I'm telling you, this is the weather that you really, it's the heat of the summer, and it's these brutal cold temperatures that make me really, truly appreciate the all-Missouri-made windows that Bob over at St. Clair of the Ozarks got me all set up with, and he can you too. That wind chill warning until 9 a.m. Winter weather advisory kicking in at 9 tonight through 6 tomorrow night. Mostly sunny today, a high of 13, wind chill 23 below zero. Tonight, snow likely. A low of 10, wind chill around 1 below. 1 to 2 inches of accumulation is possible. Tomorrow, snow likely. A high of 23, wind chill 0. Winds are expected to die down tomorrow afternoon. Thursday, partly sunny, 24, 32 on Friday for a high. And the weekend, making our way into the 40s. Let's see what the current temperature is. I know it's cold. I mean, when it gets so cold, does it really matter? The regular temp is 11 below zero. Hillary Clinton posted a Happy President's Day photo on her Facebook page. And it was former President Obama and also current President Biden and not former President Bill Clinton, but her. Seemingly still hasn't gotten over the fact she never became president of the United States. You know, Biden, I guess he made some comments and there was a paltry crowd that watched it online. But the real excitement occurred when former President Trump showed up at a President's Day rally that also was said to have been organized to celebrate Trump's acquittal. Now, this was on West Palm Beach, Florida, and it's not far off of Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago. And I don't know if this was organized with the hopes that he would swing by. I suspect maybe that's the case. But as with virtually every single Trump event that has ever occurred since he was president, something that is organized by citizens. And they were there, and of course there was video of it. What the WPEC, CBS 12 News covered it, and of course people had posted all sorts of videos. And it was basically a one-man parade. It was Trump in an SUV. There were a couple of SUVs, I'm sure, his security and in tow. And law enforcement was on hand trying to keep the crowd back. And I mean, people were just, it was like the Beatles. And I tell you what has to drive the left nuts is you see in there, interspersed, LGBT, you see rainbow flags. That's something that the left just cannot fathom. Absolutely can't fathom it. There were American flags. There were Trump 2024 flags. There were rainbow flags with Trump written on them, all waving, people cheering, very, very excited. Something that, and when you see that, there's just something instinctively that tells you there's no way that Biden could have won. Now, I know that some people are going to say, my gosh, I mean, give it up already. It's not a matter of not letting it. It's just that it's still palatable. I mean, you see these things occur. Biden, anywhere he shows up, I mean, there's some little gaggle of press there. There's never any cheering crowds for the guy. I mean, there may be a small hand-picked few if he goes to some of it. He's going to go to Milwaukee, try to sell this stimulus package, which how this guy can't sell this stimulus package when his party has one party rule over this country is a whole nother story we'll talk about later. But he's got to go to Milwaukee to try to pitch that. He can't even unify his own party on this issue. You know, how many stimulus did Trump get through when Democrats were controlling the House? Trump managed with a two-party system going on there, you know, Democrats controlling the House to get stimulus through. Biden can't get it through when they control everything. But back to the point. We're watching, I'm watching, I have to pull this up and I'm laughing to myself because it's just, I don't know, it's just funny in some way. And I show it to my wife, and she's, you know, and people are just excited. And she says, you know, she said, that's the thing about Americans. We just don't give up. And I thought to myself, you know, there's another deal here that I know that those on the left don't understand. And I know it because of the way that they describe Trump supporters. It's like a cult. The media in particular, how you can have honest coverage of a political party when you have such a vast misunderstanding of the people. They think it's just like a cult. Just believe anything he says. I had this discussion once on Color 10. I was asked, what do you think of people, it was the Lincoln Project of all entities, what was really trashing on Trump and talk, you know, he's got a cult personality. And I said, you know, what is interesting about that is you find a significant number of Trump supporters that say that they don't actually really like his personality in a lot of ways. Now, some did, some got a kick out of it, but there was a significant portion of Trump supporters that didn't like his personality. They didn't like the tweets. You know, you'd hear some people say that they liked him, but others like, you know, I really love what Trump's doing, but I wish he wouldn't tweet so much. And I always thought to myself, the media, you know, if they would just listen to what Trump supporters say, they might have an understanding of what's going on. And for the media to think that the vast majority of Trump supporters were just, you know, is this cult personality thing, when Trump supporters would openly acknowledge they don't like the name calling and, you know, they don't like the tweeting. But here's what it is, and I know a lot of you know this. It isn't even Trump that they love so much, that we love, that you love. It's the country. It's the United States of America and what it stands for. And what many Americans, clearly not all, but what many Americans saw was a guy who was running for the presidency who loved it as much as they did. And for a lot of people, they inferred that past presidents, even some that they supported, Republicans, didn't even really necessarily have that love of America like they thought. Now, I'm just telling you about interpretations here. Trump wasn't a career politician. Trump was the only person who ran that I think a lot of people viewed as actually sacrificing personally to do it. It wasn't part of some career plan. It wasn't the pinnacle of a career, you know, like somebody like Joe Biden or any of these others that start off here and then they get up here and then they go up here and then the presidency, that's it. You know, that's the final destination. That was a step down for Trump when it came to his economic success, his personal wealth. But he did it because he loved the country. So when you see this excitement still for Trump, like how can people still be excited? He's not even president anymore. Because it's not about Trump. It's about the country and there being somebody that they see that loves the country as much as they do. And what makes it even more stark is you juxtapose it to a political party that all they do is trash on the country. Work to rewrite history. Strip us of our historical figures because all they want to do is point out all the bad things they did. Tell an entire race of people that they should feel guilty and be ashamed of themselves because they're privileged. That our country is filled with a bunch of racist and systemic racism within law enforcement. I mean, you cannot have a more clear difference. Someone like Trump, who just really genuinely loves the country, loves what can be done, it sees the best in all people, and frankly, more than any other Republican or Democrat, presidential nominee or president, treated people of all race and all genders, and treated them absolutely equal. He didn't write off black people because, well, Republicans will never get the votes. He went, talked to them just like he did white people. He treated everyone the same. Some may say it was crass at times, but he didn't pander to one group or pin one against the other, unless it was all Americans against government in the context of you guys are the ones that can do it. You don't need government. Government simply gets in the way. I mean, we talk about why are we so divided? Why are we so divided? We've always been divided because we're people. That's why we've had more than one political party. But it's what the different sides view. One side still genuinely loves the country, loves the liberty, loves the freedom, loves the ability for people to freely speak their ideas as unpopular as they are, while the other side does not. They think this country is horrible. They think, in the words of Governor Cuomo, America has never been great. People like Michelle Obama saying she was never proud of this country until it decided to elect her husband president. I mean, the constant, nonstop trashing of this country and the people Is it any wonder that people who love the country are divided off those who hate it and want to dismantle it? I think so. And the question at this net is the country, is it totally in charge? And we're seeing all of that play out. Americans taking a back seat. The attitude, you'll find something else. While 5,000 people in this, where are these people going to stay? You know, you can get arrested if you go to the gym without a mask on. But 25,000 people coming from a number of different countries are allowed just to usher right into this country, go wherever they want. It is a tremendous difference. Spring 1041, I'm Reed. Springfield's Talk 1041, I am Nick Reed. Wind chill warning till 9 a.m. Winter weather advisory kicking in at 9 tonight until 6 tomorrow night. 1 to 2 inches of additional snow is expected. Now, the Republican Party has a real issue on their hands. And I know the Democrat Party has a divide and Republican Party has a divide. The Democrat Party's divide, though, is it's a little different in the sense that you don't. This is going to sound very biased and inflammatory. But you don't have, like, one segment of the Democrat Party voting base that are these hardcore, we love America, we're going to fly that. You know, you have, like, the Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, who openly hate the country wing. And then you have the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's that clearly, they don't have any love for the country. But they've tended to be more in this for career and line their pockets and power, but they don't have this mission, or they have it. They didn't get in it to have a mission to destroy the country. On the Republican side, you have these Trump people who just love the country, love America, love liberty, love freedom, love the idea of freedom of speech, no matter how unpopular it is. Love all of the things that are listed as protected human rights in the Bill of Rights. They love all those things and defend them. But then you also have the Mitt Romneys and these others that are more the career politician. They don't have any great adherence to less government, lower taxes. They, too, think people should be managed. They just think they're better managers of your life than the Democrats are. It's just a management style issue. And there are some meaningful conflicts occurring. Now, the North Carolina GOP has censured Senator Richard Burr. He's one of the Republicans who voted to convict Donald Trump on impeachment charges. The Central Committee of the North Carolina Republican Party censured him last night for his impeachment vote. The statement saying the NCGOP, and it's North Carolina GOP, agree with the strong majority of Republicans, both the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate, that the Democrat-led attempt to impeach a former president lies outside the United States Constitution. And it goes on further from there. Now, at the same time, there is a petition to censure Romney for impeachment amongst GOP voters in Utah. The petition, which is circulating on social media, accuses Romney of having failed to represent the average conservative Utah voter, as well as having misrepresented himself as a Republican, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. Senator Willard Mitt Romney has prioritized his personal and political vendetta against President Donald Trump ahead of the Constitution of the United States, the interests of we the people, and the advancement of the Republican platform, the petition alleges. Senator Romney has conducted false and misleading statements that have led the 117th Congress of the United States to further conduct an illegal and unconstitutional second impeachment proceeding against President Trump. The petition also states that Romney appears to be an agent of the establishment deep state. Now, whether this will have actual, central, I doubt it. The leaders of the Republican Party in Utah are not endorsing the petition's assertion, but this is where they're going to be caught in the middle here. On one hand, it's the great Mitt Romney. On one hand, you've got it still has a lot of power within the party. Massive of your. And it is a position that people without conviction will find very difficult in trying to calculate which side is going to be the least damaging. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.
Away right now, we have a crash at Highway 60 in Highland Springs. That's a tractor trailer that lost its trailer this morning. This is going to be at Chestnut and 65, some slowdowns there. Stalled vehicle at James River and Glenstone. That's in the right lane if you're headed westbound, tractor trailer in the right lane there. And then also Glenstone and Sunshine. If you're headed westbound, watch out for a fender bender. In the KTTS Go Patrol Traffic Center, I'm Jason Rima.